Let's pray together. Lord God, the last words in that song was, "We live for you." And may that be true of our lives. That the choices that we make and the decisions we make and the words we share and the actions that come out of us, that we're living for you. Lord God, we thank you for this time of worship we've had this morning. We thank you that we could worship you through opportunities that Stacy shared with us in order to serve you. That's exciting. I know, Lord God, that when we choose to serve you, you choose to bless those efforts. So we thank you for those opportunities. We thank you, Lord God, for the worship we've had through song this morning. Beautiful set that our worship team led us through. We thank you, Lord God, as Dale shared with us about your word and how available it is to each one of us, and that we can open it this morning and study it freely. We give you praise for that. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we do that now this morning, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to what it is that you would speak to us, that we would be receptive of your Holy Spirit's moving. We pray this in your name. Amen. So this morning's kind of fun. We have two things going on. We have baptism that will be at the end of the message. So we are looking forward to that. We have two wonderful ladies that are going to be baptized this morning, and we are just looking forward to celebrating that step of obedience that they're taking this morning. We're getting back into our study that we started 4 weeks ago, or we're in the fourth week. I guess we actually started it 6 weeks ago because we took a little break over Palm Sunday and Easter. So we're getting back into our study on the Beatitudes, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, and it's the first like 12 verses or so. So I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is what we're looking at today. If you are using one of the church Bibles, page 683, the church Bible should be under the chair in front of you. Page 683 should get you to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 is what we're looking at this morning, the Beatitude that we're looking at this morning. If you are just joining us for the first time today, or you've missed several of the first ones in this series, I would encourage you to jump back on the website and pick up the ones that you missed. Because there are a few things that we'll talk about just in a second here that were talked about earlier on that I'm not spending a lot of time talking about each time we go through a new beatitude. So it will give you a little bit of background if you choose to do that. But this morning's beatitude is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." So these, again, are the words of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, going back to the very first week of this series, we talked about that meaning of blessed and then the definition that we are using in regards to it. So if we go back to that meaning and we kind of substitute that meaning in there for this particular passage, this verse might look something like having and experiencing God's approval. Are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So I want to just take a few minutes this morning and break down this particular verse, this particular beatitude. So we're going to start kind of at the end of the verse first, and we're going to ask the question, what does Jesus mean when he says they will be filled? What does he mean when he says that they will be filled? Most of us know what it is like to be filled or satisfied in a body sense, especially like in our response to hunger or eating, right? If we get ourselves good and hungry, we know that sense of being full when we consume something. But Jesus isn't talking about food or our hunger for food. He's talking about us as individuals, as people, as our spirits being filled. He's talking about being filled in a mental, emotional, and spiritual sense. Those are really the things that make up who we are, that make up our lives that we live. So to be filled in the sense that Jesus is talking about is to have the sense of being filled or satisfied in life, not in our stomachs. To experience the full life is one of the reasons that Jesus came to earth. Just listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 10, verse 10, if you're taking notes and you want it for later. But Jesus says this. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. A life that is filled or satisfied encompasses so much more than what we eat or obtain in our lives. There are people who have all the money that they would need to buy whatever food that they want, but we and they can as well recognize that something is still missing in our life, even though we have what we want. We just don't seem like life is fulfilled. There seems to be something missing in life still. The fact is that every one of us desires, I believe, this kind of a feeling. We desire a life that is filled and satisfying, that there's meaning to. A life that is at peace with our emotions. A life that is full of purpose. That's what we desire. That's the full life that we can have through Jesus Christ. The problem is that while we seek this filling, too often we're looking to find this fullness in like wrong places. And we try to bring this purpose, this satisfaction, this meaning, this peace into our lives through things like our careers or through human relationships that we have or our accomplishments. Some even seek this fullness through like vacations and shopping and that kind of stuff, right? Like it brings us joy and we feel like it fills a void in our life in that moment. These things, at times, they may provide temporary filling, but Jesus offers us the blessing of being filled in life. He says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. They will find true satisfaction. They will find true purpose, true meaning in life. So the first question is, what does Jesus mean when he says that they will be filled? And it's all about their lives. So meaning and purpose. Being able to make a difference in his kingdom. All that is part of filling us. Second question is what does Jesus mean by hunger and thirst? Okay, by quick show of hands, who in here has ever been hungry in their life? And I mean like hungry. Like you missed more than one, you're hungry right now. You missed more than one meal. You guys are a bunch of liars in this room. Come on, who has been hungry? We've had that feeling, right? I remember back to when I was doing youth ministry, and I know that Fairlin did this when we first moved here too. We did what was called the 30-hour famine, and it was with our youth group. And it was to raise money for people in third world countries that didn't have the blessing of food like we have here in the United States. But a part of that was also to raise awareness. And that wasn't the fun part of it. It was to raise awareness of what it meant and what it looked like to actually not have all that available to us. So we would starve ourselves for 30 hours. And I remember doing that, and I remember cheating a couple times, not telling my youth group I cheated, but if they're listening to this, they now know that some of them cheated as well, so don't worry about it. But I remember that as you would go through that 30 hours, that, man, there were times where, like, there were, like, true hunger pains. It wasn't just missing, like, a single meal. But again, in our passage, Jesus isn't talking about a hunger for food here. He's using words that can help relate what he's talking about to the people that he's speaking with. And we certainly can get a glimpse of what he's saying by doing things like a 30-hour famine, or some of you do fasting and all that kind of stuff. So we can get a glimpse of what he's saying, but the people of his day could even get a better understanding of it. Like, Jesus used two Greek words here for hunger and thirst, and they meant to crave passionately, to seek with eager desire, to painfully feel their want. Right? Have you ever been that hungry? You like painfully feel your want, eagerly longing for more. That's what the words meant, the hunger and thirst. So when he says hunger and thirst, he's saying that the person is experiencing like an intense hunger for, he's starving for and painfully feeling his want for what is being talked about. Many of the people in Jesus' day had probably experienced this kind of feeling in the physical sense and realm. They had had times of lack of food and water, and had felt pain that comes along with that need that they had. So when Jesus used these terms, but wasn't talking about food, that they would have understood that picture that Jesus was painting as an intense internal desire and need for. Not as just something that would be a nice to have kind of thing, but a necessity to live life itself. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, who have an intense internal desire for righteousness, for they will be filled, for they will be able to experience life in fullness. We can pretty easily understand hungerings as an intense desire for something other than food, and being filled as having a full, satisfying, purposeful, meaningful life. But the last thing I want us to look at is, what does Jesus mean by righteousness? Because that's an important piece to this verse. When Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, I think the people that would have been receiving that message, hearing those words from Jesus, that they probably would have had a picture in their head of a group of people called the Pharisees. Right? Because the Pharisees do all the right things, at least on the outward appearance they did. These guys are living lives, at least again outwardly, obedient to the law as they understand it by the Pharisees' teachings. So they're kind of the people that everybody's looking up to. They're living life right. So just imagine being in Jesus' time for a second, right? And as you hear Jesus speaking these words, you have this picture of this group of people, the Pharisees, in your head, and you're thinking that you need to live like these people live. The problem is that you try and you try, but you seem to always fall short in your efforts. But as Jesus says this, as you're hearing these words from Jesus, you're willing to try again to live righteously, to really, really hunger and thirst after it. Because this is Jesus saying this. Now imagine that this is your thoughts as Jesus continues to speak. you're going to give it another try. Because you really want to do what Jesus wants you to do. And you want to live a life that is filled, satisfying, and purposeful. But as you're thinking about this, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, which is just like 14 verses later, this is what he says. He says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." What? Like, I can't even live up to the Pharisees. And now Jesus is saying that I need to surpass them in righteousness and in how I live my life. When Jesus talks about righteousness here, he doesn't mean a righteousness that comes from ourselves. He's not talking about a righteousness that's based on my actions. He's not talking about a righteousness that's based on the actions of the Pharisees and how they were living their lives. And this becomes really evident a little while later in the book of Matthew when Jesus warns the Pharisees. And he says to them in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees." So he is talking directly to them at this time. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." That's not a compliment from Jesus. In the same way, he goes on to say, in the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So is Jesus wanting us, is he telling us to live righteous lives? Is he wanting us to follow the Pharisees? I'm going to say no. The Pharisees were self-righteous. They were relying on a righteousness that came from themselves. They made up rules that they and people had to do and live by, and they believed that that made them righteous, at least in each other's eyes. A righteousness that is based on our own actions is no righteousness at all. So if when Jesus says righteousness, he does not mean a righteousness from ourselves, based on our actions, then what does he mean? Here's what he means. He means a righteousness that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Rome. You find this in Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 20. Paul writes, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." That's what the law is good for. It makes us conscious of sin. "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." When Jesus is talking about righteousness in this passage, in our verse that we're looking at today, the Beatitude, he's talking about a righteousness that is given to you and I from God when we choose to believe in him, when we choose to enter into a relationship with him. It is not through a pursuit of doing the right things that anybody becomes righteous. It is through a pursuit of a relationship with Jesus Christ, growing in that relationship and following in obedience, that we will be seen by God as righteous. Did you catch that? I hope you caught that. Like, that is the most important sentence of everything I've said today, I think. It is through a pursuit of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Doesn't stop there. Growing in that relationship and following in obedience that we will be seen by God as righteous. Those of you who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we need to be living in that relationship with Christ every moment. We need to walk with Him and talk with Him and ask for His guidance and His wisdom, and we need to do this day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. I want to tell you that as we live in a relationship rather than trying to impress Him with our obedience, we are going to experience the fullness of life as our hunger and thirst for Him and our relationship with Him and His righteousness grows in us to become a daily need for us.